So I'm here today with Ron Myers from the Consulting Rooms, and we're going to be covering a number of subjects. First of all, good morning, Ron.
Hi, Adrian.
I just wondered if we could talk a little bit about the economy. You know, are people finding it more difficult? Are people discounting their treatments? What's your experience from running consulting rooms and also running your own clinic, Ron?
Well, I think since 2008, we found that certainly growth has slowed down a little with our clinic. And we had, probably our poorest year in terms of growth in 2008/2009, but it certainly seems to have bounced back to an extent. Although we're in a very different environment now, I think both macroeconomically and also with regards to looking at competition as well. I mean, I'm sure you'll find this as well in your local area, but we found in Birmingham that many, many more clinics have sprung up, especially in the non-surgical arena, because the barriers to entry are very low. As you know, there's no real legislation now that revolves around setting up a clinic. And with injectables, really, you can kind of start up with your bag and go around and service other businesses, i.e. beauty salons and hairdressers, which, you know, increasingly people have done over the last few years.
And obviously, obviously they've got quite low overheads, haven't they, Ron, if they don't have to run a clinic?
Absolutely, very low overheads. So, I mean, I think, you know, when you take the step, which we did about 8 years ago, to go from that business model, which a lot of people did in the early days, to then running your own clinic with having, you know, all the costs involved with that, receptionist and clinic manager and all the equipment and everything else as well, rent rates, it does have a big impact on your profit margins, there's no doubt about it. But it does also allow you to provide a much better service, I believe, and a much broader service as well. Rather than just focusing on injectables, you can look at lasers and all sorts of other treatments that you can use to enhance people's skin, or really look at the body contouring marketplace as well, which I know a number of clinics have done as they developed. They've looked at non-surgical body contouring as well.
Absolutely. Ron, what do you, can I take it back? I mean, what do you think the average profit margin should be for, you know, a clinic? You know, you've got a very, you know, a good setup. I mean, could you give me a ballpark figure for profit margins?
Well, I think it's very hard to actually pin that down because, I mean, we try and do this as well with each individual treatment because each treatment has its own individual margin, of course. And so treating someone with Botox is going to be very different from doing a liposuction procedure. I'm sure you appreciate that when you look at the inherent costs,
yep.
Both in terms of looking at the direct costs, in terms of attracting those very different target groups in, whereby I think, you know, obviously marketing for fat reduction and liposuction is very different from marketing for someone who's got fine lines and wrinkles.
Yeah.
Through to looking at the whole costs of then running through that procedure. And then looking at what I would call the lifetime value of that particular client as well, which of course is difficult to determine immediately when you're starting off in business, but you can look back over 4 or 5 years and kind of track this. And certainly I think our feeling with liposuction is that in general, when people come in and they have a procedure, there's little cross-sell and upsell there to other procedures and treatments that we do within the clinic. And if you've done that treatment right, of course, as well, it's likely that, you know, then they're not going to be coming back within that 4 or 5 year period.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that because, you know, obviously with plastic surgery, most treatments are one-off treatments and often underestimate the income that repeated treatments over the years can bring.
Precisely. And I think that's also the beauty of running a non-surgical business model as being, I would say, your prime revenue generator as well, because I think if you look after your clients properly, and of course with non-surgical treatments they don't last, certainly Botox 3-4 months, fillers maybe a year depending on the area where they're being treated, and if you're looking at complexion enhancing treatments, you know, like microdermabrasion, hydrofacial, mild peels, you've got topicals as well, you can look at an average spend for a client possibly being in the sort of the £500 to £700 area a year. And if you can keep that running every year for 5 years, you can imagine that, you know, you've got a nice sort of built-in repeat business model there. Whereas with, I think, the big treatments like liposuction, facelifts, breast implants, the surgeons, and of course you compete against big groups like Transform and Harley Med or whatever as well, is that, you know, it requires a lot of, I think, high visibility in terms of marketing and advertising to be visible when somebody makes that decision that they want to have their breast implants done. And so you've got to have that continued marketing there to bring in those new clients.
Absolutely. And Ron, a point I always make to our cosmetic course delegates is you don't actually need that many active clients or patients, you know, to provide quite a good income.
No, absolutely.
You know, it's more the retention. It's almost sort of treating the people you've got well so they come back to you. It's perhaps equally or more important than sort of your new marketing program.
I would totally agree. And plus the other thing as well, if you look after people and you give them good service and good treatment, then those are the sort of people that may tell a friend if they had a similar concern and was asking, you know, were asking where who they would recommend. And of course, growing by internally by referral is the most cost-effective way of growing a business.
So all these new clinics that have sprung up in your area, all these new practitioners, you know, are they a threat? Are you worried? You know, how do you position yourself against that, Ron?
I think that my view is with competition is that, I mean, A, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you've just got to focus on what you're doing, providing the best service for your clients and looking at what you're doing from a point of view of making sure that you are running a business appropriately from a point of view of service and also fiscally as well in terms of making sure that, you know, you're making the profit that you need in order for that business to carry forward and sort of, you know, pay its way and produce the type of profit that you're looking for to take out of that business. I'm very much into looking at the being in the more premium end of the marketplace. So I wouldn't say in the kind of very, very bespoke, high-end, socialite, Harley Street type of business model where prices can be charged sort of at a very much an upper limit, but certainly in the upper.
And Rob, what's the highest? Are you aware of anyone charging for a sort of three-area Botox? I've heard rumours. Have you heard of any sort of amount?
Yeah, I mean, somewhere in the sort of £750,000 area.
Yeah.
You know, so I think within certain circles, you know, there are people that will, obviously, where the money isn't the issue, and they will gravitate towards the people that they feel are likely to be the best. Now, of course, that's very difficult to determine objectively, and it's more subjectively, but there are people that work within social circles and also have a very high profile within the press that if they're clever can adjust their prices up accordingly, you know, some people believe that the more you pay the better it's the treatment and the service is going to be. And to an extent on a scale there is obviously that there is some truth in that, there's no doubt about it, but then beyond that you may be paying over the odds in terms of looking at getting a good result versus another good practitioner who's just charging what I would call a sort of an upper quartile rate in terms of looking at how the treatment is costed.
Absolutely. So obviously the majority of the listeners aren't going to, you know, probably not going to be treating, you know, these celebrities and extremely wealthy people with these sort of prices.
No, it's a niche marketplace, but it's very nice if you can, you know, if you can get into that area.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although I believe from some of the people I know who deal with them as well, some of them can be quite demanding from a point of view of looking at that personal interaction, if you see what I mean.
Yes, I could completely.
And if you get it wrong, you've got a real problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So that you know, that is a market for some people, but perhaps not everyone. Now, are your competitors cheaper than you? Is that an issue? You know, all these, you know, we could talk a little bit about Groupon and some of these social coupon sites.
Yeah, I mean, probably I would say 90% of our local competition is cheaper than us, and then the rest is about the same price. And we also charge for a consultation as well for a non-surgical treatment with our doctor, which the vast, I think, 95% don't. But, you know, that's what we laid down a number of years ago. It hasn't really affected our business model to any great extent. You know, we've managed to grow year on year, whether or not, if we, it's always very hard to tell because, you know, if you adopt one model and you stick to it, it's very hard to test it against another model.
Yeah.
if you see what I mean. And then the other thing is, well, I think once you bring prices down, of course, as well, it's very hard to put them up.
Yes.
So what we try and do is actually is put our prices up every year anyway, because that helps to improve our profitability. It's just one other method of improving your profitability if you put your prices up, as long as you don't put them up too much where you lose, say, half your existing clients. Then putting them up small amount year on year is a good method of just helping the bottom line, because a lot of the input prices tend to go up, you know, wages, yeah, salaries, rent rate, all that other stuff as well.
Yeah. How do you decide how much to put it up, and how do you communicate that with your patients, Ron?
We communicate it annually, normally through a newsletter that we have that's sent out, and also through a physical newsletter and an e-newsletter as well. And we would vary what we would put the prices up on. And really it comes down to the sensitivity, I think, of certain treatments. Some treatments are very, very cost sensitive at a certain point in time. And certainly we found that laser hair removal has become more cost sensitive over the years. But we've got lower overheads with that in terms of looking at the sort of the cost structure and who does the treatment and also in terms of our marketing then compared to certain other treatments. And so it does vary. But in general, we're looking at sort of 5% at least a year.
Okay. Is that, but you vary it per treatment? So
yes, we do, yeah. It's not something that's put across the board, because obviously some of it doesn't add up anyway if you do it 5%, as you know, no, you end up with odd pennies here or there.
So
it is something that we objectively do every year. We review the prices, and they're reviewed up rather than down.
Out of your treatments, Ron, so say Botox, dermal fillers, you know, skin treatments, laser hair removal, which are the most cost sensitive, do you think?
I think probably laser hair removal, predominantly because I think people can't. It's obviously advertised in very many different areas, from beauty salons through to even people now going around with a machine at home. You've also got at-home sort of versions as well, like the Tria and Silken and a number of other ones out there as well. So I think it's become a bit more confusing for consumers to look and say, well, should I spend £250 on something I can buy at Boots, or £1,000 going into a clinic?
Absolutely. Dermal fillers or Botox, which is the most cost-sensitive, do you think?
I would definitely say Botox.
Yeah.
I think the most common question when people phone up to inquire is, you know, how much does it cost?
Yeah.
And the key thing that you've got to get your receptionist to do is to try and deflect away from that and look at, try to get deeper into the conversation, look at whether they've had it done before, what their experience has been, what their expectations are, and whether they're looking for the cheapest price or the best value.
Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously steer them towards that.
I would totally agree with that. So, well, that's really helpful. Now, these social coupon sites, I see more and more of them, Ron. What's your feeling about those?
Well, there are, Groupon's probably the most visible site, but there's KGB, Living Social, My City that have all come through in the last couple of years, really. And it's quite interesting looking at this from a point of view of, A, the ethics, and B, I think, looking at does it make sense from a business perspective? And I think, obviously, different people have different views of this. We did a survey recently of our members, and around 70% of people said that they actually would not use Groupon or any other social site to advertise any treatment in their clinic, but that still means that around 30% do. And we've certainly picked up a number of those, and that's increased as well over the last sort of couple of years, to go from what I would call some of the minor cosmetic procedures, like sort of microdermabrasion, going into then hair removal, and now into any cosmetic surgery procedure that we've seen advertised. So we saw one recently, which was from a clinic called the Birkdale Clinic, that actually advertise any cosmetic procedure, whether it's breast augmentation, rhinoplasty, whatever, for £2,000 versus £5,000.
Really?
Which is a very, very big discount.
Absolutely. Could you just tell me, Ron, how do they work? So let's say, you know, I want to get more people for Botox into my yes. clinic. How would it work?
Okay, well, in essence, what the social media sites do, and what social coupon sites, and what they call them this, is that predominantly what they try and do is to get people to sign up for these deal of the days, they call them, through marketing these through sort of Facebook and Twitter and other routes as well, to say basically give us your email address. So then what happens then is, coming into your inbox every day, you'll get a deal. Yeah. And it can be anything from sort of a local restaurant, a hairdresser, or somebody selling cosmetic surgery. And the idea is that you've got it's normally a 24-hour period to basically put your credit card details in and buy that deal. Yeah. So it's time-related. And the offer also, I think, normally needs something like, depending on how much the cost of the treatment is, 5, 10, 15 people to actually trigger it.
Yep.
To make sure that, you know, it will definitely go ahead.
So let's...
Which I don't ever think everybody seems to be a real problem with it.
No.
So what happens is that you then give your money to Groupon through your credit card.
The patient does, yep.
Yeah, the patient yep. does. And then you receive a voucher, and then you phone up the clinic and yep. book an appointment and go along with your voucher. And then when the clinic then claims that money back from Groupon.
Right.
So say, for instance, you've got a treatment that you would normally charge £2,000 for, whatever it is, and you put it on Groupon for £1,000, and you negotiate with Groupon a percentage then that they will keep as a result of actually advertising that offer. Now, initially when these things came out, they were around sort of 50%.
Right, okay, yep.
But I think the more savvy people now maybe are getting sort of, especially obviously if it's what I call a high value offer, you know, you may be looking at sort of 30%, 40%, something like that.
Yeah.
But clearly, say for instance, if you have just 10 people who buy something that you've discounted down to £1,000 and you're giving Groupon £400 for each one of those people, actually that's £4,000 that you've given to Groupon.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I think if you look at this logically, you know, if you wanted to discount something so much, you know, by sort of 50% on the face value of it, if you've got £4,000 there that you're willing to put towards that, it would make more sense to do it yourself. You know, utilize that £4,000 through Facebook ads or
yes.
whatever. I mean, you would do it for a lot less money, I think. So I think that there are some issues revolving around that I think, and of course as well, I mean, these offers that you tend to get aren't very targeted as well. So
yes.
I sign up to these and I get offers for all sorts of stuff I'm not interested in at all.
Yes.
It's just that it's in my locality, which is where the offer is. So it's in, you know, the Birmingham area, for instance. I also sign up for the London ones as well, just to see what comes through. So it is quite interesting.
Yeah. Could I just run through this? Say, if my average Botox was £350, let's just say
yeah.
my average Botox cost, my clinic's a bit quiet. I go into Groupon and sort of say, I'm
yeah.
prepared to do this for £200. You know, would it have to be less than that, Ron?
Probably. I've seen them advertised for 50.
Right. So...
£50.
So I say to Groupon, I will do this for £50,
yep.
and my minimum number is 20. Yep. So
something
I get...
like that, that's right.
I get 20 people in, but they probably won't all come in, I think. Would they all come
you
in?
You do find that as well. You do find there are some people that will buy vouchers, and we actually tested this about 2 years ago when it first came out for microdermabrasion.
Yep.
We had a new practitioner come in, and so we thought we'd look at it because it was a new concept, and we wanted to just sort of, you know, get a feel for just what would happen with this type of sort of marketing advertising concept and whether or not it would work out for something that we perceive to be not really a medical treatment at all. So, you know, microdermabrasion is basically just mild sort of taking off the top layers of the skin. So it's more of a kind of an advanced facial. But when we did this, we had about 35 people that bought the voucher, but only about 25 people came in and redeemed it.
Yeah.
Now, Groupon kept that money.
Oh, right, they keep it, do they? I see.
Yeah. Now, Living Social, who are a competitor to Groupon, actually say, well, if people don't come in, you would still get the split of that voucher cost anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so there are all sorts of other things sort of revolving around this. But I think for me as well, I mean, some of the things that have happened here with regards to looking at the language that Groupon uses to advertise these treatments, especially, well, you know, cosmetic surgery, medical treatments. So there was one literally only last week, and it was for a clinic in London. And it basically, the advert went like this. It said, cheese-based maladies often affect noses, often caused by Stilton, Stinking Bishop, and a particularly vintage brand of Romcom. Okay?
Yeah.
And then it went on to advertise nasal tip enhancement for £2,000.
Yeah, that is a bit dodgy, isn't it, really?
Well, so obviously they've got some really weird copywriters here. Now, for me, as a clinic manager, if I was going to utilise this anyway, I would want some control in terms of looking at the message that was given out.
Yeah, do you have control, Ron? Do they write it, or do you write it?
Well, what tends to happen is that they would normally say, okay, we know how to get people to buy these deals. We've got experienced copywriters in here who can do this for you, so don't bother with it. Just send us the pricing details, and we'll do the rest.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a very big mistake, because if you think that is going out to a lot of people in your area, okay, who may or may not be interested in that anyway, but that has your clinic name attached to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could see a lot of people looking at this and going, well, that's just rubbish.
Yeah.
You know, so I think from a point of view of brand enhancement anyway, I think it's very poor. I think obviously you are attracting in really people who aren't even probably looking at the copy. They're just looking at, I want a nose job and I can't afford it. And they see this voucher come in their inbox and they go, maybe I can.
Yeah.
So that's really what I think you're attracting.
Yeah. So overall, Ron, I mean, anyone listening to this thinking, these voucher code sites are, the Nirvana and going to sort your clinic out and get you loads of patients, your advice would be to think carefully.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think, there are the ethical issues. I mean, in Oregon recently as well, there's a lot of issues around this in the States as well, because some states do not allow fee splitting for medical promotion. So clearly, if the consumer is giving money to Groupon, and then Groupon are basically giving money to the clinic or the practitioner, that is seen as fee splitting. And so they banned it in Oregon recently.
Can you just explain what fee splitting is, and whether it is okay to do in England and Britain?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is really looking at the whole process of marketing, advertising, and incentivization of medical procedures. So, in essence, say if you're going out with an advert that you paid for in a magazine. Clearly, you paid a fixed rate for that, whatever you've negotiated. So say it's £1,000 for a full-page advert. Then you could get no one from that. You could get 100 people from that. And that obviously depends on whether or not you put it in the right media for the type of treatment that you're advertising, whether the copy is attractive or not, whether there's a call to action. There's lots of things that revolve around there. But basically, I guess what people don't like about advertising is that you're kind of having to put a punt out there, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
So you put your money out and then hope somebody's going to call on the end of it.
Yeah.
With these social media sites, you're almost pretty much guaranteed to get people in.
Yeah.
It's whether they're the right people or not that's the key. But I think the issue with this is looking at the whole process of how the payment works.
Yes.
So because you've negotiated, basically they've negotiated, Groupon negotiated with you a percentage of the fee for that medical procedure.
Yeah.
And so that comes down to a fee splitting for their on their behalf in terms of saying, well, we're going to make a benefit from pushing patients your way through our marketing route, which is through these social coupon sites.
Yeah.
Now, in the UK, I'm a bit unsure about certainly from a point of view of looking at the legislation as to whether or not that is just deemed to be something that, is a little unethical or illegal. I don't think it is illegal in the UK.
I don't think it's illegal, but it is not recommended by the colleges. The medical profession look quite dimly on fee splitting, I think.
Yeah, and so, you know, clearly, and I think that's why BARPs have looked at these sites and said that we really, you know, don't feel these are a very good idea for a number of reasons. And, yeah, I think probably one of them is that aspect. But I think the other thing is just whether or not, you know, the whole concept of discounting cosmetic procedures is something that I think BARPs would not recommend anyway.
Absolutely, I agree. Well, Ron, I think we've run out of time, unfortunately, for today. So thank you very much for joining me. So perhaps in the next episode, we could talk, a bit about the face conference, the body conferences, educational events coming up, and also, you know, the thorny issue of VAT.
Okay.
Thanks very much for joining me, Ron.
Thank you.